Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello and welcome to Basketball. I'm Sean Woodley.
And I'm Katie Heindel.
And today's show is very different than our typical show. Obviously, you know, typically we talk about basketball games that are taking place or the sort of fun weirdness that floats around the NBA. And none of that really matters at all today, as there are no basketball games likely taking place. We're recording on Thursday around noon Atlantic time where I am, 11 Eastern time. And so, just a disclaimer, a lot of things could have changed by the time this is posted. Players and Board of Governors meetings are going on as we speak, and so we'll try to, if anything pops out of those while we're recording, we'll try to talk about those as they happen. But for the most part, this is kind of just reflecting on the last couple of days here and looking ahead to what is coming next as the NBA's players, let's not say the NBA because the NBA is certainly not behind this, the NBA's players performed a wildcat strike basically yesterday. There's a lot of semantics over, is it a boycott, is it a strike, is it a wildcat strike, whatever it is, the players used their leverage as the people who put the NBA on and make it happen and decided not to play in the wake of the Jacob Blake police shooting in Kenosha, Wisconsin, the protests that are going on there, and the continued lack of movement and action when it comes to racial inequality in America and worldwide. And first of all, off the top, I think we're all in agreement when we say we fully support what the players have done here. And it was really great to see the six teams that were scheduled to play yesterday come together in solidarity and all sit out their games. Katie, we are joined today by a wonderful writer, podcaster, media personality extraordinaire, really, who is doing things all over the internet. The 9 newsletter for women's hockey coverage, Lockdown Women's Basketball on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and a whole host of other places you can find our guest today, Erica Ayala. Erica, how are you?
Well, I'm here.
That's a question.
Here.
Yep.
Yeah, that is definitely a question. I am here, but I am thankful that you have me on the show and thankful to be having conversations that, quite frankly, even a year or two ago were not being had regularly. So I'm thankful for that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. We're so happy to have you today. Thank you so much for being here. And I guess we can start with you, Erica, just sort of diving into all of this. Obviously, there are a million places we could start here. I guess just sort of your overall first impressions, reactions from the last couple of days from earlier in the week when we saw players both in the NBA and the WNBA kind of put on the spot to answer another round of Q&A, exhausting Q&A after the shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, and then into the last couple days here where there were talk about boycotts and then the actual act of sitting at those games, started by the Milwaukee Bucks, followed by the Magic, Thunder, Rockets, Blazers, and Lakers, and presumably all the teams on the slate for Thursday's games, not yet officially announced, but it seems pretty clear that they're not going to be playing today. I guess just sort of what's been your reaction to everything here and sort of how are you feeling about all that's gone on in the last few days here?
So for me, it's not been unusual to have players having conversations about social injustice and racial inequality because I primarily cover the WNBA. And so weekly, actually, on Lockdown Women's Basketball, I've been focused on the social justice messaging that the WNBA has been uplifting. So from that perspective, not much had had changed for me. What I did notice changing, and I actually had Dorothy Gentry on our Locked On Women's Basketball show for today, is that Dorothy and I were covering the Dallas Wings, and usually we are accustomed to players kind of unifying and saying that they're only going to answer social justice type questions. But we were a little bit surprised as Satu Sabally, who's been out with an injury for the Dallas Wings in her first media availability back, she opted to not answer any questions. And that because of what happened to Jacob Blake. So that was the first rumblings that we kind of got Tuesday night. By Wednesday, I was engaging in a Say Her Name panel discussion that the New York Liberty were hosting at around 4 p.m. I think it was 4 p.m. Eastern. And as I'm participating on that virtual event, that's when I started, you know, seeing murmurs and word that there were pre-game media availabilities that were being postponed, and that there was conversation about how on the NBA side that the Bucks might not play. So it was a lot happening. And lots of emotion since, but it was on the one hand a kind of business as usual. But then once we started hearing what the Bucks were doing, I think things really took off from there.
Yeah, totally. Katie, do you have anything that you want to add as to sort of how you've taken all these last few days in?
I mean, I haven't. I've been kind of like, I got a really extremely terrible migraine yesterday, so it's kind of like every time I've been resurfacing, it's just been a swell of more news and information coming kind of all at once. It's sort of been the ideal way to get it because I feel like, you know, nothing is landing right now. It's like all shifting in real time. But it's been extremely heartening. It's been really overwhelming. It's been really wrought and extremely sad. I guess like my most personal perspective was being in the scrums earlier in the week with the Raptors with Fred VanVleet and Norman Powell. And when they were kind of asked to first comment, and, you know, my takeaway from that was just like, I got kind of upset afterwards with some media saying, wow, like, you know, I've never seen athletes this candid. And it's like, you know what? It made me extremely sad to be in it. Like, I didn't want to see them like that because it's so indicative of a greater problem, right? Like, it's so indicative of something else that's going on that is like so hurtful and like so traumatizing that, you know, if this is one, I also disagree because I think they're candid all the time. But two, like, if that's what you want out of athletes and like that's what you think it takes for them to be candid, I question why you're covering. I do question why you're covering basketball, but
yeah.
Aside from that, onwards into like the player strikes, I'm completely behind everything that's going on. I think it's incredible, but I do also want to go back to Erica's point that I think nowhere in this should it be lost that the WNBA has led with like actionable, you know, like tangible and actionable responses for. Like historically, you know, like in that league. So I think they've definitely like paved the way in a lot of respects. And in a lot of respects, as I'm sure we'll get to, have more on the line and potentially more to lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. First of all, I totally agree in sort of sharing the discomfort that I felt watching and reading Fred VanVleet and Norman Powell and Pascal Siakam this week and sort of the response to that being, you know, oh, this is good for content, basically. And that is just sickening and not at all what you should be focused on, even a little bit. And, you know, it's not like these guys haven't been talking this candidly about this very thing for months either. I mean, Fred VanVleet has been talking about this for months back since, you know, May and June when everything took place with George Floyd. Norman Powell has been incredibly outspoken. Jaylen Brown, Malcolm Brogdon, all of these guys have been out there and talking about it this candidly and this powerfully for months. It's not new this week. It's just, I feel like, at least sort of how I picked up on things, that there was like a different layer of exhaustion to it all this week because it is very much the same thing over and over again. And that kind of leads me, Erica, into the discussion of how the bubbles, both the WNBA and the NBA, have sort of done in terms of upholding the promise that these were going to be platforms for moving things forward and for inspiring action. And there's been a lot of talk, obviously. You mentioned you know, the women in the WNBA, you know, using their media availabilities exclusively to talk about these things. We've seen similar things in the NBA with certain guys, although I think to a much lesser extent as the basketball has kind of taken over. And I think the fact that the basketball was quite compelling and entertaining, surprisingly, has really sort of overwhelmed, I think, the messaging a little bit, you know, coupled with the fact that you had the NBA censoring the messages that could go on jerseys, whereas on the WNBA side, you have, you know, the act of wearing the shirts actively working against Kelly Loeffler and supporting her opponent in her upcoming election. I think it's very clear that the WNBA has done a better job of upholding all this, but I'm just kind of curious, Erica, how you viewed what the bubbles have done so far, and have the existences of the bubble undercut or distracted from the messaging the way someone like, you know, Kyrie Irving mentioned before was going to be the case?
Well, I think Kyrie was onto something in a lot of ways, as as was Natasha Cloud, who opted out of the wobble, as we call it, the WNBA bubble. I think it's a tough question to answer because I don't think it's one way or the other. On the one hand, as I just said, the WNBA created a social justice council and players have already done media blackouts. They're not on the court for the national anthem. They uplift a woman who is either involved in the Say Her Name campaign or unfortunately has become a hashtag herself, has been killed by law enforcement every week, every Sunday. It's a new woman. However, in WNBA media, something that has really burned my grits, to use a Southern term, has been the obsession with head coach of the Las Vegas Aces, Bill Laimbeer, and his haircut. So while these women are uplifting Sandra Bland, Michelle Cousseau, you have teams that are giving updates on Bill Laimbeer's headband in their game notes. You have writers that are being memeified on social media. So yeah, I do think there has been a lot of distraction. I also do think there have been a lot of conversations. And I think that goes for the NBA as well. Dorothy Gentry, who I had on Locked On Women's Basketball today, she covers the Dallas Mavericks and the Dallas Wings. And Dorothy has been on the Zoom conferences with head coach Rick Carlisle, and that he and listening to him give his stat, you know, or his social justice stat or fact of the day. So it's not one thing or the other. I think, unfortunately, and we see this happen a lot of times, there are certain pieces of the story that get highlighted at certain times.
Katie, anything to throw in there?
No, I mean, I think we've talked about this a lot, Sean, like this idea of how difficult it can be and how we're all kind of learning in real time, unfortunately, some slower than others, like about holding more than one uncomfortable idea in your head at once and like saving room to be able to talk about those things and understanding that, like, you know, whether it's reform or like action, there is certain things do need to be prioritized, obviously. And I mean, yeah, of course, like we also talked about this too. Of course, return to play was going to be distracting from the overall messaging. I mean, we talked about this with the pandemic. We talked about this, obviously, when George Floyd was murdered, like, and players were in the streets protesting, like return to play was going to directly remove them from where they were putting the onus and the pressure on and like directly in communities in some cases. So, but again, like it's been heartening to see more on an individual level than I think what the NBA has kind of like, you know, they're like soft handling of the messaging, you know, like of the jersey messages and having Black Lives Matter on the court. I think like they gave a framework of like, this is what is acceptable and we will broadcast in terms of activism. And I think in refuting that, like in this most recent step in refuting that, is even more powerful because it, like, you can't work, like reform and like action doesn't work within a neat framework, right? It's not supposed to. It is supposed to be, protest is supposed to be disruptive. We've said this before too. So I think, you know, to Erica's point, it has been heartening to hear individual players and coaches and people, you know, try and keep this messaging alive. But you can also get the sense of like how difficult that's been. Well, play is continuing because the narrative always shifts, whether it's like, yeah, wacky stuff about a coach or like players are doing, like we do this too, Sean, like we do this on this podcast, you know, like totally. Stuff going on in the bubble, because like we do welcome those kinds of lighthearted distractions too, or it's just like the distraction of play. So, you know, I don't mean like I know what the answer was. I don't know that I know that these things could have always existed concurrently side by side. Like, I think at some point something had to break. And I think that's what we're seeing now.
Yeah. I mean, I think all the way through, there was never a wrong decision whether to play or not play. And everyone, mm-hmm. you know, made those decisions based on, you know, their own personal sort of their own personal, you know, evaluation of the situation. I will say, there's been a lot of sort of Kyrie was right tweets in the last couple of days. And while I do think he was right in that, you know, the bubbles were going to distract from the messaging, I also don't think the teams performing this strike upholds or makes that any more right, because, you know, this yesterday was a moment that stopped sports and was impactful for a reason. And it's because it was an unsanctioned action, but, you know, breaching contract quite literally by the players. And that's why that sort of resonated, I think, so much. And that doesn't get the opportunity to take place if they don't put the bubble together. So, I totally see all sort of arguments for and against playing and continuing to play. If, you know, last night there was a vote among the Lakers and Clippers both said that they don't want to continue the season in sort of an impromptu sort of informal poll, whereas most of the rest of the league said, let's keep playing. And, you know, Jaylen Brown was quoted from the meeting saying, well, what are you doing if you go back home now? Are you just going to be at home, or are you going to be go leading marches? Because if you're not leading marches, what's the point? You know, again, it's not any of our plays really, especially, you know, mine and Katie's here, to be sitting and passing any sort of judgment as to what the right answer is here. I guess, Erica, I feel like you were about to jump in there with something. Did you have something else you wanted to add there?
Oh, I think that you're absolutely right. And not to mention that, you know, I think the conversation about, you know, if you're not going to go home and be a freedom fighter, then that's, I think that's short-sighted, because what Black mm-hmm. athletes are also telling us is that this is emotionally exhausting, that this mm-hmm. is mentally exhausting, and that for those of them who have families or are expecting, you know, to build families, staying safe and healthy physically and emotionally is extremely important. So that's the only thing that I would add to that argument, is that there's a whole nother element of just having to be literally on and entertaining that is draining while you're seeing Black bodies die.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think to sort of pivot to what happens next, we still don't know what's going to happen with the rest of the NBA playoffs. Frankly, it's not important whether the games get played or not. I think the next sort of question that I think a lot of sort of, you know, maybe sort of casual viewers of, oh, hey, this is what's going on here, and maybe from people within the league itself are, and who are questioning the validity of this strike, if those people exist, is, well, what is this accomplishing and what's next? And I think, you know, Erica, let me toss it to you. If you're asked the question, you know, what is next and why, what can be accomplished from this? I think the answer is pretty clear in that, you know, rich people own these teams, extremely rich people who, you know, sure, you know, you can throw out how much the NBA is committed over the next 10 years, $300 million, $1 million per year per owner, less than a minimum salary player per year to enrich Black communities. That's a good start, but it's nowhere near enough when you're talking about billionaires who literally in some cases are in the president's inner circle, in the case of Betsy DeVos with the Magic, or Steve Ballmer, who funds LAPD studies that in turn lead to increased police funding. You know, there's so much power locked up in these 30 owners of these teams. That's where this is hopefully leading, right? It is sort of leveraging those people into using their immense power, which they have no problem wielding when, you know, they threaten to leave a city because they're not getting a stadium built for them. You know, what about when Black lives are at risk, though? Are they going to have a problem wielding their power with that? And I guess that's the question, right? Is, will the NBA and their players be able to, you know, coerce that out of these owners? Because that's clearly what they want.
I think that that's certainly a part of what some players want. I think it's also fair that each individual player has their own reasons for supporting this, or quite frankly, for not, because I don't think this was necessarily unanimous from what I gather. And from covering the WNBA, we know that there are differences of opinions or maybe just different perspectives, but they were able to come together, hear all of those perspectives, and make a decision that seemed to, you know, be the best option for what everyone was feeling. I think, though, what matters and what we take away from this is that let's remind ourselves why the bubbles exist anyway, because of a pandemic. Mm-hmm. Why were sports canceled? Because the NBA decided to, you know, to halt and suspend their season. There had been conversations, there had been college conferences and teams that had made decisions, but when the National Basketball Association decided to suspend its season, everyone started thinking about coronavirus differently in this country. I don't think, and then the NHL followed. I really don't think that's an exaggeration. So, and Dorothy Gentry and I talked about this on Locked On Women's Basketball as well. Is this an opportunity now where NBA players and WNBA players over time are forcing a conversation to be had differently? I've seen it even in broadcasting. ESPN, CBS, they talk about social justice every single WNBA broadcast. This is, you know, these are some companies, ESPN in particular, that has suspended their own talent, that has had a very complicated relationship with, you know, using air quotes here, stick to sports. So there's already a lot of things changing. And I think that as much as owners need to take responsibility, there also just needs to be more awareness. This is in the States, at least. There's a presidential campaign. The RNC, Republican National Convention, went on last night while all of this was happening. There are elections at the local level that are extremely important when it comes to attorney generals and things of that nature. Sheriffs. There are some sheriffs throughout the United States that are not appointed, they're elected, they run for office. So those are the things that are the true takeaways. Now, if owners want to resume to what makes them money, then they need to get on board with how players and athletes are going to continue to raise their voices. It's not necessarily, in my opinion, about making owners do something that they have given every indication that they don't want to do. It's more about, are these owners, are these leagues going to suppress athletes as they utilize their own platform?
Well said. Katie, anything mm-hmm. to throw in there?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I personally think like, yes, of course, like some athletes, you know, like the voting kind of campaign that LeBron James has rolled out, obviously. And like the money that he's putting into that. There's obviously athletes that do have some channels to more like actionable responses. But then, you know, as we heard last night, I think in the Bucks statement of them like asking like, well, what, like we did, what can our next steps be? Like, what do we want? Like, you know, asking like the Wisconsin government, right? Like what can we do? So I think something like that also shines a light that I think if players want to continue, there's ways that they can get involved with community leaders who are, you know, at the forefront of this kind of change and in terms of like knowing what to ask for, who to ask for it and things like that. So, but I do also think, you know, Sean, to your point, owners do need to step up though. I mean, I'm skeptical in terms of like who will, you know, when, especially, but I mean, again, like when their bottom lines are threatened and when the money that these players make them is threatened because of a work stoppage, essentially, will they be forced to act? But for something like that to happen, I almost think it needs to go one step further. And like the playoffs themselves need to be like, this needs to last longer than like one game, because I think one game for each team, well, monumental and is obviously like made so many more people pay attention to what's going on. I think, you know, you're not really forcing the hands yet. You're kind of, you're just like saying like, this is what we're capable of. But that's good because I think it scares some people and it shakes, you know, it shows that it can shake some things up. But like, I don't know. I mean, then again, the flip side of it too, like nothing is very straightforward here because on the flip side of that too, they have the platform because they're in the bubble right now. And it's this very strange experience where, you know, basketball is on so often, like so much of the focus of like of broadcasting and people watching is on this one specific bubble in the NBA and the WNBA. So I think like, is it powerful to also continue, but then to set the stakes of like how you'll continue and to threaten like I know in the WNBA, did Erica, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I know they eventually called the games, but were they stopping every 7 minutes at first last night?
So there was a lot of different reporting coming out of that. And I think that was because of what I had mentioned earlier, that players had differences of opinion, excuse me. So the best example I can give is Alaysia Clarendon, who plays for the New York Liberty, has always said that the way we value women's sports or don't in society, the WNBA wobble has a lot of power, is how Leija was describing coming to the wobble. But you have Skylar Diggins-Smith, who plays for the Phoenix Mercury, who since training camp has been very open that she's conflicted every day she steps foot on the court. And ultimately, yesterday, saying that she doesn't think that sports should be going on. So there's mm-hmm. differences of opinion from very powerful voices in the WNBA. So I think that was one of the plans. And there are some players that we've heard over time that do want to play. That is, again, talking about mental health. Mm-hmm. That's their outlet, mm-hmm. is to play basketball. That's where they feel safe. And that is very real. And I don't think that they should feel bad about that. But there are also other players who, regardless of if they see basketball as their safe haven, they can't stop thinking about their son who's back at home, their husband, their father. Or once they take their uniform off in a place in a state like Florida, if they're not in a bubble, what that means for them. So I think the reason we were seeing a lot of different things is because, again, it was ever-changing, ever-evolving. But yes, 7 minutes, stopping every 7 minutes was one of the plans that I saw reported. And I think there's power in that, too, disrupting sports as we know it. So not playing has its upsides and its downsides. Playing outright definitely has upsides and downsides. But disrupting, maybe there's a middle ground. So maybe that's what we'll see.
I mean, yeah, that's all I meant, and just in terms of like, is there a way to kind of, they can kind of control what they're, I guess, like to control the actions that they're putting forward in the case of that thing that was suggested by the WNBA. But I don't know, like in your point about mental health is great. Like I spoke with players like really early on, you know, before the bubble, and a lot of them were saying like, we want to return to play because, you know, we're noticing like our anxiety is shot through the roof. Like we're, you know, a lot of players were struggling with like literally low level depression, like a lot of people were because of the pandemic. So I think there's something in that too, right? And just like, but I think the onus can't come down onto the players to figure out what the next steps are.
Yeah, I think regardless of what the next steps are, and again, that everyone is going to have their own opinion on what those should be for their own various reasons, and all of them are extremely valid. I think the players sitting out on Wednesday, I mean, just the mere act of doing that and leaving these broadcasters with 3 hours of time to fill, what else are you going to talk about but other than what is to be talked about? And I think, you know, you saw a lot of great analysis from the likes of Chris Webber and Sam Mitchell and a whole bunch of other people who, you know, otherwise would have been sitting there talking about, you know, the pick and roll coverage of the Portland Trailblazers. Instead, they were sort of thrust into addressing this head on. And even if it is only a 1 or 2 day thing and you know, everyone misses one game and it's back to normal by Friday, I still think there's a ton of value, obviously, in what was done on Wednesday in terms of the awareness. But yeah, it's, you know, we'll see. We're still so early on in this and the meetings are still going on as we speak. And so we really have no quite clear direction of or understanding of what the direction is going to be just yet. But Erica, if before we let you go here, because I know you are in high demand as someone who is amazing and ridiculously talented, there's a good reason for that. Any closing thoughts, sort of feelings on where we're going? Are you feeling encouraged by what we've seen? And, you know, sort of last closing impressions here.
Yeah. Overall, yes, I am encouraged. But I do think that there is a lot at stake. And not just for the players, but, you know, also, if I'm being honest, as a member of the media. And so I think that we will see some more coordinated effort, whether we see more basketball to be determined. But I'm really excited for what the NBA and WNBA players in particular will do moving forward. And I really think, again, they've upped the ante for everyone else. So I'm excited to see where this conversation goes from here on out.
Erica, we were so thankful to have you on today's show. Really, really appreciate you taking the time on what I'm sure is a thing that you're probably extremely exhausted with continuing to have to talk about. And so we really appreciate you sharing your thoughts with us. And I highly recommend everybody check out Lindsay's work. Lindsay, where can people find your work?
Oh, you can find me at elindsay08 on Instagram and Twitter, and of course listen to me on Locked On Women's Basketball, where once a week I'm talking about social justice, and really excited to be part of the crew that we put together there.
Absolutely. As a person who was involved in the in the assembling of that crew, I can attest it is a wonderful collection of hosts. And Erica, you do such wonderful work over there. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you
Erica.
All right, Katie, that brings us to the end of our podcast today. You know, very different, obviously much shorter than usual, but it doesn't call for anything other than what we've done today. And so with that, is there anything that you want to close off with? Any closing thoughts from you? Anything that you would like to direct people towards?
No, I'm just curious to see what these meetings today will yield, both the player meetings and like the kind of executive level meetings. I guess my biggest, you know, a lot of the points at the players that came out of those leaked meetings were interesting, but I think the one where there was criticism on Adam Silver for not being more present and in the quote inner circle of the bubble, I found very interesting. So I'm pretty curious on where what he says and when he says it, because I think one, he must be aware that so much of what happens next and whether things continue does hinge on what he says. And two, like, aside from a business perspective, I would like to see him make like a human, like a human statement.
Yeah, I mean, the business decision for him is to lay low and not anger the owners with anything he says. The human thing to do is to put the onus on the owners.
I meant not anger the players, because honestly...
Oh, that too. Yeah, I'm just talking about his own, what his job description is.
Yeah, if there's already dissatisfaction from the players and he says something, you know, to contest that, you know, goodbye, like, see you later, rest of the season, so...
Yeah. No, we're still, I think we're on like hour 19 or something like that. As we record, since the Bucks decided to boycott their game. We keep calling it a boycott. It's not a boycott.
It's a strike.
Not buying products. Yeah. It's a strike. Yeah.
It's a strike.
It's a wildcat strike. Yeah. And so, you know, we haven't heard anything from Adam Silver yet. You know, he may speak anytime after this is done recording, and we'll obviously react to that. We're not going anywhere with this podcast. Obviously, we'll be back again next Thursday to break down what I'm sure will be a very busy week when it relates to this. Whether there's basketball by then, who knows? Who frankly cares? We will we'll obviously keep you posted and continue to break things down. And just again, a reminder, make sure you are continuing to do the work, do the research if you have not yet. If for some reason the wave of momentum around the Black Lives Matter movement after George Floyd wasn't enough for you, maybe this will be. And hopefully that you're just continuing to look into exactly what these players are protesting for and against, and look into the gross overestimation of power when it comes to police departments and just the unmitigated disaster that that is when it comes to there being no accountability whatsoever. And so with that in mind, the Milwaukee Freedom Fund, obviously, right now is a place if you have money. You know, usually this would be the time where we say to go to our Patreon page. Don't do that. If you have $4 to throw to the Milwaukee Freedom Fund to help with bail for protesters there, that's wonderful. If you want to donate to a local Black Lives Matter chapter, that's also wonderful as well. We fully encourage that. And with that, Katie, do you have anything else or should we wrap this up?
Let's wrap it up.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks to producer Dylan, as well as Jess, Clay, Michelle, the entire Space Monkey crew. And we will talk to you again next Thursday with another episode of Basketball.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.